from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Tuesday, January 6th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Mecklenburg District Attorney Spencer Merriweather has asked the State Bureau of Investigation to investigate allegations made by five people against Mecklenburg Sheriff Gary McFadden. The group, which includes Mecklenburg State House member Carla Cunningham, are petitioning a judge to have the sheriff removed from office. Steve Harrison has this report.
Cunningham, along with McFadden's former deputy chief, Kevin Canty, say McFadden should be removed for, quote, attempted extortion and corruption, willful misconduct and maladministration, and willful and habitual refusal to perform the duties of his office. The petition alleges that McFadden threatened Cunningham to pressure her not to vote with Republicans and override a veto of a bill that requires sheriffs to work closer with federal immigration officials. It also says McFadden has failed to manage the jail and that he ordered his deputies to drive visiting officials to bars and strip clubs during a National Sheriffs Association conference. Merriweather announced that the state statute that allows for removal first requires approval from either the Mecklenburg County Attorney or the DA. He said he's asking the SBI to investigate the allegations. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
Congressional lawmakers representing much of North Carolina are praising the capture of Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro, calling it a show of American strength. WFDD's April Leslie reports.
All four U.S. representatives for the Piedmont region are members of the GOP and each issued social media statements praising the operation over the weekend. Fifth District Congresswoman Virginia Fox shared just one word, freedom. Representatives Pat Harrigan, Richard Hudson, and Addison McDowell described Maduro as a narco-terrorist and drug trafficker. McDowell credited President Trump for what he called decisive action. North Carolina's two Republican senators, Tom Tillis and Ted Budd, echoed their sentiments, but also said the capture fell within the president's Article II authority. The action has drawn criticism from some of their constituents. Over the weekend, demonstrators held a protest in Greensboro condemning the capture as unlawful and questioning U.S. motivations. For WFDD, I'm April Leslie.
Teachers at dozens of schools across the state could walk out in protest Wednesday of low teacher pay. It's the second time in recent months that a statewide effort like this has been planned. But as James Farrell reports, this time the walkout could have more traction.
The latest walkout effort is being organized online by a new group, NC Teachers in Action. The group says about 50 schools are slated to participate, mostly in Wake County. Three schools are listed in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools: Paw Creek Elementary, Elon Park Elementary, and Governor's Village STEM Academy. Brandy Sanders is a Wake County teacher who's one of the leaders of NC Teachers in Action.
We've noticed, obviously teachers have had issues for years now with as far as their salary, their income, but it just seems that things just are progressively getting worse instead of better.
Teachers are demanding the state unfreeze salary step increases for veteran teachers and fully fund a court-ordered plan. The group is building off the momentum of an anonymous post made last November calling on teachers to walk out, which yielded scattered call-outs. Sanders said the lack of organization stymied those efforts. The goal is to hold monthly protests building up to April 7th, when the General Assembly is set to reconvene in Raleigh. James Farrell, WFAE News.
The troubled Sycamore Brewing Company is shelving plans for a major new taproom in Cotswold Village. The Charlotte Business Journal reports that the 11,000-square-foot beer garden on Randolph Road has had its lease terminated. Sycamore's co-founder was arrested last month and charged with sex crimes involving a minor, prompting stores, bars, and distributors to dump its beer. The brewery has also closed its South End taproom. Charlotte City Council's Safety Committee received an update on the city's street vending pilot program, and staff suggested requiring vendors citywide to obtain permits. Kenneth Lee has more.
Last year, City Council approved a street vendor pilot program in NOTA that required vendors to apply for permits to sell their goods. The committee reported fewer confrontations between permitted and unpermitted vendors, less selling of questionable goods like THC-infused products, and less congestion after the policy changes. The city staff recommended expanding street vendor regulations citywide and increasing criminal penalty enforcement, particularly for vendors who repeatedly sell without a permit. City Council member Dimple Ashmira said more data is needed before those changes can be made.
Vendors do contribute to the charm of a neighborhood where there is infrastructure in place. But we also need to make sure that we address the concerns, public safety concerns, from our residents and our businesses around public safety.
The pilot program for street vendors in NOTA will end as scheduled on February 15th. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
Democratic Governor Josh Stein is endorsing Rodney Sadler over incumbent Carla Cunningham for a state House seat in Mecklenburg County ahead of the March Democratic primary. Steve Harrison has more.
Cunningham, a Democrat, has held the District 106 seat since 2013, but she's often voted with Republicans, including last summer when she helped the GOP override Stein's veto of a bill that requires sheriffs to cooperate more with federal immigration officials. Cunningham angered fellow Democrats when she defended the override vote in a speech on the House floor, saying that all cultures are not created equal. Sadler is the director of the Center for Social Justice at Union Presbyterian Seminary. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
Health officials are keeping watch on a measles case in western North Carolina. An unvaccinated child in Polk County tested positive after traveling to nearby Spartanburg County, South Carolina. The state announced the case on December 31st and says it's connected to the outbreak across the border. It was North Carolina's second measles case in 2025. County officials say 13 people are now in quarantine. Polk County Public Information Officer Kelly Cannon says vaccination is shaping how health officials respond.
If you're vaccinated, then you're in the clear for an exposure. So if you have your MMR vaccine and you come into contact with somebody who has an active measles case, because you have the vaccine, you are safe. You don't have to quarantine, and you're not considered at risk.
Cannon says the child has recovered, and so far there are no additional confirmed cases in Polk County. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster wants state lawmakers to allocate more than $1 billion additional dollars to cover cost increases in major road projects. The state currently has about $7 billion total budgeted for roads, but cost overruns are increasing. McMaster said the cost of widening I-26 from Charleston to Columbia has gone up 50% in 3 years to $3 billion. Other major highway costs have tripled. The Charlotte Hornets finished a three-game road trip Monday night by blowing out the defending NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder, 124-97. OKC has the best record in the league. Hornets rookie Con Knipl said the Hornets are getting better.
We can be an elite offensive group, and we play with the pass and we play fast, and so that's what we've been doing for the past, half a month, and so we want to keep it going.
The Hornets start a two-game homestand tomorrow night, hosting the Toronto Raptors. This weekend marked a milestone in North Carolina politics. For the first time, more people in the state are registered to vote as Republicans than Democrats. The change, which has been years in the making, was once unthinkable in a state where Democrats dominated for more than a century. Steve Harrison looks at why and what it means for the future.
The first year of Donald Trump's second presidency has reinvigorated Democrats. They have won elections in Virginia and New Jersey and flipped seats in North Carolina's municipal races last fall. And millions have marched in No Kings protests. But there's a conundrum amidst all this momentum. The Democratic Party still doesn't have many people willing to become Democrats. At the start of President Obama's second term in 2012, there were 820,000 more Democrats than Republicans in North Carolina. In last year's presidential election, there were only 106,000 more Democrats. And even after President Trump's tumultuous 2025, marked by the president's low approval ratings, the Democratic registration lead continued to dwindle. Over the weekend, there was a historic flip. There are now 2,077 more Republicans than Democrats in North Carolina.
I think it is absolutely fair to say this is the first time in North Carolina history where we'll have more Republicans than Democrats, registered Republicans than Democrats.
That's Western Carolina University political science professor Chris Cooper. He notes that the Democrats' decline isn't necessarily the GOP's gain. Most new voters are unaffiliated, not declaring themselves for either party, and the share of Republican registration has stayed at around 30%. But if you're a Democrat, the steep decline in registrations is worrisome, he says.
So it is a story of Republican stability and Democratic demise. And the way that's playing out is that people at the end of the lifespan, when they die, when they leave this mortal plane, those tend to be Democrats, registered Democrats. And the people entering the electorate are much more likely to be unaffiliated.
Stanley County, 45 minutes east of Charlotte, is a prime example of what's happened. In 2012, there were 13,700 registered Democrats in Stanley. Now, there are just 7,915. The county is mostly rural. Its biggest city, Albemarle, is best known for being the home of country singer Kelly Pickler. There's a sign honoring her at Courthouse Square. A block away is the new headquarters for the Stanley County Democratic Party. It's in a storefront that used to hold music lessons. There's a small Christmas tree in the window, decorated with blue ornaments. Here's the new party chair, Aaron Soto.
And everything here really has been donated. We've been blessed in that regard. Right on the desk, we've got the voter registration. This is a thing that people, a poster board that people can click on the QR code and donate.
When she became chair in May, the county party was on life support. Only $700 in the bank and just 3 of 22 precincts organized. Now the party has $37,000 and half the precincts manned. And people appreciate the party being more visible with its new downtown office.
I mean, even my beautician said, oh, I didn't know there was a Democratic Party. I get that a lot, you know.
Despite that energy, there are still 47 fewer registered Democrats in Stanley today than since the summer. There are 352 more Republicans and 428 more unaffiliated voters. Soto says many of those unaffiliateds vote Democratic and that some people are afraid to register with the party in such a conservative county. She took one woman to the Board of Elections to change her registration to Democratic.
When I took her down and she filled out the paper and right before she turned it in, she almost couldn't do it because why? Because she was thinking about her parents. And her parents are lifelong Republicans. I said, this is not your parents' party anymore.
Laksha Jain, a Democrat, is the CEO of Split Ticket, which analyzes voting data. He says the Democratic Party's registration woes are not a rural thing or a North Carolina thing. They're happening everywhere, including in other swing states like Pennsylvania and Arizona.
I don't even know if I should say slow bleed or like slow annihilation, because they had all of these really robust leads in voter registration in a lot of states. And in the Biden years, what you really saw was that scores of Democrats, you know, ancestral Democrats, moderate conservative Democrats, just abandoned the party.
He's surprised that Democrats didn't register more people in 2025 as Trump's approval ratings dropped.
And the fact that they haven't is, honestly speaking, a tiny bit concerning for them, because like, this is the time when parties are supposed to rebound. This is the time when parties are supposed to make those changes.
He says the registration problem isn't due to tactics or a lack of resources. It's about brand identity and that too many people see the party as too left-wing.
If half of the people on your own side think that you are too liberal, you can bet your ass that the people in the middle and the people on the other side of the spectrum definitely think that.
In North Carolina's critical U.S. Senate race, Democrat Roy Cooper is using the registration drop as a rallying cry. Social media ads note the party has lost nearly 150,000 voters and that a campaign contribution can turn that around. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
And for Tuesday, January 6th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.